For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
And hello, everyone. John Pollock and waiting with you as we are going to be going through SmackDown from Italy, that some of you have either watched or will be watching, depending on where you are located in the world.
Maybe attended.
Could have attended as well.
Possibly.
We will see if we have any Italians. Maybe singing their feedback to us later on. You're welcome to call in and share your favorite hymn that was shared at the at the Unipol Arena in Bologna.
Yeah, yeah. Every crowd has been pretty remarkable so far on this European tour. What would you rank Bologna?
Okay, so last week the first one, Barcelona, and then Monday they were in Brussels.
Yeah,
I would put this 3 of 3. I thought that the singing was very high. I just thought for volume wise, I did think it was I thought Barcelona was probably the loudest last Friday, but I could be mixing that and Brussels together. Brussels was pretty nuts too. I mean, again, they've all been really, really hot crowds. So, I mean, we're kind of splitting hairs here.
Yeah, I would say so. They're all kind of starting to, I don't want to say blend in, but like maybe the first one sounds that much more special.
Wait till they come back to the U.S. and we've got like a 3-hour SmackDown in Mobile, Alabama. Like, okay, you'll be feeling that third hour, I promise you.
I'll definitely be missing them. But I guess like as the weeks progress, I mean, they're feeling less and less special because I'm just expecting like this volume of crowd now. So maybe that's why like the first week sounded so memorable. And week 3, it's like, oh, okay, yes, it's a European crowd. I've come to expect this volume. Anyway, but this was like really, really fantastic, fantastic, fantastic crowd. And again, is I would say the highlight of the show. Every single one of these shows that we're talking about, it's not necessarily the segments that to me are the draws. It's the crowds, you know.
It certainly was not the wrestling on this show. Like, you take away these crowds, like this was some very just by the numbers wrestling, I thought, on this show. And by even the way it was laid out, the main event of this show was three men under one roof talking and pointing. So we had 8,000.
What are they going to call these when they do outdoor stadiums? Okay,
under one sky.
Okay,
yeah,
it sounds like a slogan for a charity or something.
Yeah, under one sky. 8,774 per WrestleTix. Their first television in Italy since 2007, when Mississauga's own, by way of Milan, Santino Marella, came out of the crowd. Remember?
Who's kind of back in the WWE system.
Anyway. It's all come full circle, yes. Yeah. Randy Orton comes out. I love this. He was all in his gear, his vest, like the trunks, to come out and just talk in Randy Orton attire. Man,
you got to be in full gear, okay?
This is his full gear. I don't think he owns pants anymore. Not since 2004. I don't think this guy's worn pants.
When you spent that much time, I guess, in your off time in the gym, I probably would throw all my pants away.
Yeah,
as well.
Not covering anything up. So he's out. The crowd just sings and sings. They're in love with Randy Orton, much like last week. He is immediately interrupted by Kevin Owens, who comes out wearing something that Randy was not, that being a Randy Orton t-shirt that Owens was in. Owens admits, "I was wrong. And he is berated by the audience. He says Orton did not deserve the package pile driver. Cody and Sammy did, but Orton, you chose Cody over me, and it made me do something I regret. And Orton, if there's anyone who can understand letting his anger do things he regrets, it's you. And then, channeling John Cena, Kevin Owens proclaimed, I'm just human. And he wants to put this behind them. And he says, the reason I pulled Carmelo out of the way of your punt last week was to save you from yourself, Randy. I don't want you to go back to the version of yourself that punts people. You've grown and you've changed for the best. And he proposes that the two of them, by letting bygones be bygones, team up and go for the tag titles at WrestleMania. Orton cannot turn this offer down fast enough, telling Owens to take his offer and shove it up his ass because he is going to kick him so hard. I'm going to get a pat on the back from Roberto Baggio. And you've gone from fight Owens fight to bitch Owens bitch. I'm glad that you dropped me on my head because now I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They counsel me. And yes, he recited the lyrics, much like this audience was reciting lyrics all night long. And he promises at WrestleMania to kick Kevin's head off his shoulders. And we got the official announcement, Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. They will not be teaming up. And as Kevin Owens is trying not to let Randy Orton go to that place and go back to the demonic side, do we have a Randy Orton as the Matt Murdock of this series way, and him trying not to put on the mask, but we know Randy's going to put the mask back on at WrestleMania.
Oh, you made that analogy as if somebody who is all caught up with Daredevil.
Yes, so, I think he's going to want to make quick work of Kevin Owens, who does look somewhat like a Foggy Nelson, don't you think?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. How is Matt Murdock's punt? I wonder. Probably pretty good.
It depends what level of a CGI they have in store, so we will see.
I thought it was an electric segment here, one that was designed, I think, to allow the crowd to shine. They certainly took their time with Randy Orton's entrance, as they should, because that is the feeling that makes these shows special, that you want to capture and spend time, you know, conveying.
They're giving everybody their entrance and ample time to do. Like, when you honestly mm-hmm. go through some of these episodes, like the amount of time, like they are just letting these audiences have their time, because these are extended periods that they're just leaning on the audience, and it does add for the environment. Like, the environment is the draw of these shows.
Yep. Otherwise, you know, a very simple segment here. You know, they're just kind of coming out and just kind of going to the expected destination that we've already like set up. You know, the continued teasing of the punt as really the main hook of their match at WrestleMania. But otherwise, I don't think they needed to do a whole lot here. All they needed to do was just do something and let this crowd sing. And it turned out into a great showcase for the show.
I thought Owens was very, very good in this segment and setting everything up. The crowd played a nice assist as well. And we have the match that everyone expected, and they're pretty much promising you tune into this show and you're going to see a man given CTE by Randy's boot.
Yeah.
Fun for now, the whole family.
So now at the moment, Sami Zayn is supposed to be out. We know he's scheduled for the Tony Hinchcliffe roast. Do you expect him to play a role in this match or another match at Mania itself?
I would say if he is not, like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for him to come back for anything but something involving Kevin Owens. So I could see them holding off Sami until the night of Mania or something, like, and he assists Randy or something like that.
Yeah. Before the roast, he's going to stop over at WrestleMania to help Randy Orton give a punt.
Perhaps that will be it. Damian Priest and Jimmy Uso against Shinsuke Nakamura and Drew McIntyre. So the bell rings after Priest attacks Drew in the aisle, and Drew nails him with a big belly to belly. The crowd loved Drew McIntyre and they were singing for him. And that's one of the things about these European shows, is like they've all been into Drew McIntyre. Nakamura trips, pulling Jimmy out. We come through the break. Hot tag is made to Priest, who's in with Nakamura. And Priest stops a Kinshasa with a clothesline, and then it's Jimmy drop-kicking Drew through the ropes. Nakamura knees Jimmy out of the ring, but then Nakamura turns into South of Heaven, allowing Priest the victory. And then Drew continues the attack, nailing Priest, who remains stating, "On sight." That is the tagline for this program, "On sight." And he headbutts Priest, rams his head into the mat, and goes for a claymore and nails it, stating, "I will continue to put you down until you stay in the ground."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So death is the overarching theme of this feud.
Sure, as it is for most feuds, isn't it, John?
Yes, it's to the death. Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre.
I thought the match was fine, but in front of this crowd, it was amazing, you know, and I think like when every strike is met with like that much noise, everything feels successful.
You'll never get a more of a contrast than if you juxtapose and watch any of these matches tonight on mute.
Yeah. Like, you know, this exact same match took place, like, I don't know, in Mobile, Alabama. Was that the example you brought up?
Poor Mobile.
It just
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay, somewhere else. Corpus Christi.
Watch, Mobile, Alabama is going to be amazing. Okay, next time they go, it's going to be way louder than
Alabama is a pretty good state for them. But anyway.
But yeah, this match otherwise like came across great in front of this crowd. I can't say I'm that like into this feud, and that just might be a result of like Damian Priest for me. Like he's okay, but I'm not necessarily that excited about the program. They do have like a great sort of like material for it though. With Priest happening to be there for every one of like Drew's failures against CM Punk. So that works, but it's not feeling as juicy of a WrestleMania level match as I think I would expect for a Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, it hasn't really hit that level. It's sort of, you know, it's too like main event adjacent guys that are not in main event programs for this show. And quite honestly, like they are putting a ton of steam on Drew McIntyre. It's like, it's Damian Priest getting laid out in all of these segments. And it is interesting because they did have Drew later on in the show, just stating, "I'll see you next week, Priest." And I'm wondering if they even use him for like a dark segment on Monday, because I couldn't fathom doing Glasgow, Scotland without Drew on that show. You may not want him on the program because he'll just be so over, although I don't know.
Dark segment for sure.
A dark segment at the very least. I would like, they're all over there. It's not like he's got a house show the same day or anything like that either. LA Knight and Braun Strowman are in the back, and we find out that Strowman's match with Jacob Fatu is now a number one contenders match for the U.S. title. So Braun says that by winning the U.S. title, that would punch my ticket to WrestleMania. So everyone's after titles for WrestleMania to get booked. Someone who has a title is Tiffany Stratton, and we got the satellite interview between her and Charlotte Flair. Joe Tessitore got in one question, and immediately Stratton is asked the question about her mindset, and Flair cuts her off and says, "She chose Tiffany Stratton because I feel bad for you. And you're delusional comparing yourself to me. You're not special. I will shine my light on an undeserving girl. And just because you're blonde and can do a backflip doesn't mean you can compare to me." Stratton says, "You used to be one of my supporters, Charlotte. I used to look up to you, but now I'm here to take your throne." And Stratton says that, "Flair, all you do is find the hottest thing and pour water on it." Flair says, "What do I do?" And then Stratton just said her line over again. Stratton says, "The fans didn't want you to come back." And Flair's response is, "Tiffany, you'll be lucky to have a job when you're my age." This was some weird trash talk, dude. What did you think of this segment?
Yeah, so this was interesting to watch, and certainly will be interesting, I think, for us to try to discuss. Because like on the surface, I feel like they actually achieved what felt like a believable face-to-face in satellite interaction, like that we would see maybe similarly for like a boxing match or like an MMA fight.
They're talking over one another. It certainly didn't feel like the WWE scripted produced type where you just go back and forth and it's all your points are landing. Like, it did feel clunky, and you can argue good or bad.
But let's argue the bad. You know, the bad is that overall, did this segment achieve, I think, what it needed to? Now, what did it need to achieve? You know, building animosity? I would say the answer is yes. They seem to achieve that. You know, I feel this is now more heated as a result of this, coupled with the physicality from the week prior. At the same time, I did think there were issues with it in that, like, compared to a traditional professional wrestling segment, it didn't feel like it was... like the quotables weren't necessarily like so good that I think you're left feeling like you watched a satisfying wrestling segment. I think my bigger issue with it overall, though, is I think Charlotte is going at Tiffany very hard, and maybe as she should, but it's not really with sort of the thought of like making her opponent look good. And I think coming out of this, you always want the baby face to shine, to look better, to look good enough. Stratton's kind of holding
her own. She's also your champion as well on top of this.
Yeah, Stratton's holding her own, but like she's still feeling like she's not, rather than working with somebody like in service of like the main objective, which is to promote Tiffany Stratton as our main champion here, it doesn't feel like we're getting that. It feels like we're just getting Charlotte like hammering, you know, like just kind of trash talking Tiffany to, I think, her full extent without maybe enough of a pro wrestling level type of assist to maybe drag her up. I don't know if you feel differently or not.
I just thought there was a lot of awkwardness in this, and I can't, like, since Charlotte has come back, it's like she's won the Royal Rumble, and I can't tell you anything about what she is wrestling for, about what is motivating her. It just feels like the title is not even a focus here. It's, I don't know.
She's saying that Stratton isn't ready to replace her, basically, right?
I guess, like, what does that even mean? I don't know.
She's going to be the top blonde who could do backflips in this company for a while, is what she's trying to say, I guess.
Well, listen, I think that this is going to be one of those cases where I do think they're going to have a really, like, well laid out match. But this one, it's definitely struggled out of the gate. And I think this one really has suffered from, we've pretty much known this match since like a week after the Rumble. And you've had, right, by the time we get there, it's going to be like 2.5 months that we have had this match built up. And I mean,
I'm predicting to be the match that maybe going in creatively, we're not going to be that enticed by, but coming out of the show, we might just only remember the quality of the match. I'm hoping for that because I think these two could have an excellent in-ring encounter.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Braun Strowman versus Jacob Fatu. Winner will get the U.S. title match next week in London. And the crowd sings for Braun. And he misses Fatu flying over the desk. So Fatu lands his hip attack. And they explain that Fatu is not losing his cool because a title shot is at stake. And then after Braun hits the Strowman Express, there's a spine buster when Tama Tonga appears and gets tossed into the ring, and then Solo attacks and the DQ is called, and Fatu is furious because now his title shot has been lost due to the bloodline, and he reluctantly joins in on this attack on Braun. LA Knight runs out, but he too falls to the numbers, including this hilarious attempt at a back body drop to Tama Tonga that did not work, going over the top rope, and Tama just had to kind of sidestep. They clear the ring, and then they announce Braun as the winner by DQ as he faces off with LA Knight that we will get next week, and a further divide among Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, that really did seem to be the A story here, you know, what the descent that's going on between Jacob and Solo, and probably leading you towards thinking the direction is each other for WrestleMania. Would you agree, John?
At Solo this point, Jacob? Yes. Yeah. I think so.
And that Jacob turn
probably a tribal combat match like that. That's kind of the big bloodline match. And I think that's probably what they're leading to here, is like, who is going to be the one to assert control of the bloodline?
Which means if there is going to be maybe an official Jacob Fatu turn, it will probably come, you know, within these next few weeks. For Braun Strowman, I think he has great chemistry with like these guys, you know, like he had an incredible chemistry with Bronson Reed, and this Jacob Fatu feud has kind of been built on similar like kaiju meat battle, you know, and he does great with these guys. But man, the finish didn't do him any favors. Like, if you're trying to convince me that there's any chance of an LA Knight actually losing to Braun Strowman, a finish like this really does nothing to achieve that. But I understand they have a greater master to serve in this Solo versus Jacob thing.
Kathy Kelly interviewed Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez ahead of Liv's match with Jade Cargill. And they ask Liv, what's your problem with Jade? And Liv explains that Jade allowed everyone to think that we attacked her. And while she was gone, she was able to update her Instagram, which she was doing very regularly, but she did not have time to clear our names. It's like, okay, I can buy into this logic. So now it's personal, and she's going to finish what Naomi started.
Mm-hmm.
That is several degrees of separation between to establish a feud, but we've got it. So those IG updates.
This is one of those cases where I really do agree with the heels, and Jade, I kind of needs to give me an explanation. Why didn't she clear Liv and Raquel's names?
I mean, is that her responsibility? Maybe she wasn't watching the program. Maybe it's like once SmackDown went the 3 hours, maybe she was tapped out.
Sure.
Fatu is livid backstage, and they're trying to calm him down. Sikoa tries to defend that we were just trying to help you, and Fatu explains it was none of your business, and you better watch out. So yeah, we're getting that turn way. Italian rapper Anna is in the crowd with her gold replica championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was seated for the next match, Piper Niven with Chelsea Green and Alba Fire against Zelina Vega. So Vega is attempting to go through the Hervis. Is that the name?
Secret Hervis.
Secret Hervis. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, this match here was fine. Like, you had like the underdog story with Zelina Vega trying to overcome the larger Piper Niven, and they played that throughout here. Green would distract. This led to a Uranagi spot. They go through the commercial break. Niven, being that they were in Italy, gave her best full-blooded Italians signal to the crowd and goes for a military press, but Vega goes to the back for a choke, then a standing octopus, manages the Meteora, and after trying for a 619, it's stopped. She hits a satellite DDT, and then Green gets on the apron, knocked down, and Vega lands the 619, kicks Alba Fire from the apron, but then, in dealing with Alba Fire, turns into a running cross body, and Piper Niven pins Zelina Vega. So, that ends the story. No U.S. title shot for Zelina Vega. Case closed.
We shall see about that, I suppose. I thought the match went way too long, personally.
It went through a commercial break. Yeah,
for two people that I just don't think people care enough about. You know, I don't think they've given Zelina Vega really any sort of character development beyond like that really cool looking vignette, and then weeks of I want to challenge you. That's really been it. Like, she's not really done that much to actually get over, you know, now that she's kind of on her own outside of the NWO. This crowd, thankfully, they weren't about to turn on anything. Like, they seemed grateful really for any sort of WWE in their town. They were thankfully able to entertain themselves with their own chants, but I thought the match itself was too long and not dynamic enough to keep your interest. I've also been very disappointed by how little they've like made Alba Fyre any sort of like priority in this. Like, she made her debut, now she's just another number, you know, within the Chelsea Green sort of faction, and she's just kind of there to like what, just pad out.
Do you know how many fun vignettes they could be doing in these European markets where they just send these three out and it's Chelsea Green exporting like her American values and going to all these landmarks and stuff? You could have so much fun with these three beyond just like this throwaway match. Like, you've got the wheat, like all these people are over there. And to me, like, this would be the act, and it could get some personality time for Niven and Fyre just to play off of Chelsea.
Yeah, and I think the joke here, whether or not intentional, is the fact that all three people in this secret Herbis, including Chelsea Green, none of them are American.
That's so part of the appeal.
And I understand like that can be a bit of a touchy subject, especially if you're going to Europe trying to like, I don't even comedically like vouch American values, but I still think you could, it's pro wrestling, we could play with that just a little bit, and we're getting really nothing.
You know? She could not have done this in Toronto. Or any Canadian market.
Not
it's,
now.
It's very serious up here. It's it's not a laughing matter to Canadians. They noted that this is the highest grossing event of all time in Italy. Yes, we did it. Market capitalization.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's impressive, but I mean,
it's a low bar.
This is the only TV they've done in like something like 20 years. Okay. Just inflation alone should account for this being the highest grossing.
They went over the Road to Clash in Paris tour. That will be very, very interesting given the proximity to maybe they'll let some talent go to Forbidden Door. Maybe we'll get a real Forbidden Door because of the way the schedules line up.
I'm curious to hear about like what backstage presences there may be throughout that weekend.
They recapped Cena's promo with Cody Rhodes on Monday. And then Kathy Kelly is with Jade Cargill, who said that after Liv Morgan, she's coming for Naomi. This is just a preview of what I'm going to do to her. Really called her shot here. Liv Morgan, Jade Cargill. Cargill's first match since...
Also had another promo for that for...
That's right. We had both a promo with the four. And if you watch closely, there's also like a 25 forming in the back too. So a lot of people are theorizing this would be April 25, which is the Friday after WrestleMania. That would be potentially like if you're bringing back an Aleister Black, it would make sense to wait till after Mania. And there was also the Rey Fénix promo, which Fightful has confirmed. He signed, sealed, and will be delivered.
I mean, they showed you his.
I mean, they're not leaving that one to any mystery, whereas at least the Aleister Black one, they're leaving some questions.
Not Grande Americano, I don't think.
We don't know that.
True.
Maybe he could be coming in. Maybe that's how they're going to unmask this guy on Raw, and it's going to turn out
American
to be
made. Yeah.
He'll be Ray Arizona.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I've got. Liv Morgan and Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill's first match back. Liv Morgan tried for the Oblivion, I think 48 times, and would eventually get it on the 49th chance. Liv and Raquel try to leave, so Jade chases and brings them back, and Liv gets a choke from the back and is driven into the buckle to break it free. Liv hits the Three Amigos, which actually got a babyface reaction. Also noteworthy, in several instances on this show, we got Mamma Mia chants.
Yes, we did.
Naomi eventually appears on the apron, our latest interference during a match. Jade stops another Oblivion with a backbreaker, grabs Naomi, but then gets struck with the title belt, the tag belt, as Raquel distracts the referee, and it leads to Liv hitting Oblivion and pinning Jade Cargill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was curious to see how they would get away with the booking here, because Liv is somebody who's like relatively well protected. Meanwhile, Jade coming back for her first match, it was hard for me to guess who would actually lose this one. And the way they did it, I think, probably made all the sense, and I don't know why I didn't just consider it. It's about as simple as Naomi cost Jade Cargill the match in order to get to their program. Liv's still somewhat protected. More importantly, this was a chance to see where Jade currently is at in her in-ring abilities as a singles wrestler. And I thought she was fine. I think her offense looked perfectly fine, you know. I do think that she's taken a bit too much time posing and looking at the crowd in between all of her moves. To do that once in a while is fine, but like there is a point where like it just felt like she had to do it after every single move. And that to me just kind of takes the urgency away from like what's supposed to be a real fight a little bit too much.
It's okay. Wei gave me the same criticism years ago.
Posing too much between your podcast words.
Yeah. In between matches.
My bigger question though, John, is like, I'm worrying if like Jade is coming across likable enough in comparison to maybe even a Naomi. Like Naomi has like, I mean, great. The story is very much in service of making us feel sympathetic for Jade, but there's also a reality to like these wrestlers in that, like, I feel like Jade, with the ability that she demonstrates in ring, I worry that she can convey the idea that she's being put in this position rather than somebody who's earned her position. Meanwhile, you have somebody like a Naomi who's clearly like had to earn the spot and clearly is the more talented one of the two. If we're talking about a crowd that at some point might be sick of a Jade, are you at risk of crowds turning on her in favor of Naomi?
In another era, I think you would very much be running that with Naomi. I mean, like Naomi's storyline reason for attacking her was that Bianca was saddled with you to get you prepared, and it hurt Bianca. And there's some legitimacy to this. Like, Bianca was taken away from like the title picture, her singles run, to work with Jade, and it was like to protect Jade as they were introducing her. Like, she is still like a relative novice in all of this, and I think you have an audience that I think, like, that's the storyline, and I think many people observe that as such, and Naomi's a pretty beloved figure among people that I don't necessarily observe that in today's audience that just seems so obedient to all of this, but I think, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this audience would very much venture more behind Naomi than they would Jade, which is not even the worst idea that Jade ends up a heel at some point. I think that's probably where she does go at some point.
At some point, but it would make no sense at all coming off of this particular story. I think my concern I'm trying to vocalize is that I don't know if Jade is sympathetic enough as a babyface in this role, especially since she's already beaten Naomi up twice, you know, in the lead up to this, which I still completely don't understand. So, like, I think they need Naomi to do another big sort of like heat getting moment. And we need Jade to be able to sell for her in a way that actually makes us feel like we want to see her get revenge.
Well, the bar is dropping her on a car, so they've got to escalate that. Want to know that when did Naomi get a chance to go back and watch her 1998 Nation of Domination videos and decide, you know what look I need? The Owen Hart caution tape. She's like full out this Owen Hart outfit, like black and yellow with the caution tape. There is no coincidence here.
Has to be a tribute. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard her speak about Owen. Maybe a big Owen fan.
Possibly.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Kathy Kelly is with Drew McIntyre. He says, I didn't start with Damian Priest. I explained last week with a video that even a child could understand. No lie detected here. That was a fantastic breakdown of his motivation here.
Very well and edited. Yeah.
He's like, I challenge anyone to verbally prove me wrong. He says that, Priest, you're tough, but you're stupid, and I will see you in London next week. And then as he's exiting, Seth Rollins is entering the arena to be under the same roof.
All these heels are making like too good of a point, I think, these days, you know? Like, these heels are all like very, actually, like, I tend to agree with almost all of them.
I mean, when I watched that video last week, I was like, ah, you know what, Drew? He's like, you might not agree with him, but he's got sound logic behind him. This is a well-prepared court case.
Now, like what makes a Cody Rhodes so special is that, like, he will go up against heels like a Drew McIntyre and somehow, like, give me better logic to side with the babyface rather than the heel. So at this point, Damian Priest needs to come out and actually like deliver a promo that I think is as, I don't know, likable and as sensible as maybe what Drew McIntyre was able to do.
The Street Profits have a new theme song and the crowd chants, "You deserve it." They talk about,
I don't know why they changed their theme song unless they had to for some reason. Like, this is another one of those cases where like, I would get it if they were being pushed as heels, but they're complete baby faces. It's like
they went through the heel run and now they're back to being baby faces.
So then why change the music? I don't get it.
Maybe they were worried that this was one of the few themes that people identify with performers and they couldn't have that.
No. I think Randy Orton should change his theme song next.
That's right. Yeah. We need like a rap.
Cody Rhodes needs a generic, elevator music. Yeah.
So anyway, they talk about doubt creeping in over the past 4 years since they last held these belts, and they are met by Legado del Fantasma. They are pissed. Santos speaks Italian, and they want the tag titles. But so do Pretty Deadly, who come out. They are the number one contenders, so Legado needs to step aside. And Ford refers to Pretty Deadly as pretty hefty. And then Ford just makes a challenge to Legado for what turns into a non-title match that followed the commercial break with the Profits and Los Garza. Match went very long. We had Escobar pull down the rope and then Berto hitting a suicide dive. Eventually, Dawkins got the big hot tag and ran wild. There's also the gory special by Angel turned into the Garza special, which features Berto doing a slingshot blockbuster. Garza gets tied in the rope. We get another Mamma Mia chant, and then Dawkins knocks Santos off the apron. There's a huge Tope Con Hero by Dawkins, who does just an incredible, he gets some great height on these dives. And then Ford is tagged from the heavens, pinning Garza. So that to me would send Los Garza to the back of the line, losing a non-title match to, this is like, this would be like Esteban Ocon just slamming into the panel.
Yes. It those would be a DNF, basically.
Yeah. That's what Los Garza did here.
Although, like, I guess back of the line would just mean you're what, fourth or fifth?
Fifth,
you know?
Of five. Yeah.
Like, everybody's gonna get a title shot eventually, so just wait a month and you'll probably get a shot.
How many of these combinations are we gonna get before they announce a ladder match for all five teams at WrestleMania?
Maybe two or three. Okay. How many weeks?
Next week is pretty deadly. Next week's pretty deadly. And it looks like we're going to do DIY against the Machine Guns. So we'll get all of those combinations.
Yeah. The crowd was really engaged for the match. You know, like they were really into the Street Profits. And
I'm glad this attempt at, like, the Street Profits basically lost a year from this Lashley group to leaving. Like, B-Fab was there. Are they baby faces? Are they heels? They were trying to be heels. They just like wipe the slate clean and they're baby faces again.
They're basically
just
back
the
to where
these two should be in. Yeah, but it just felt like such a nothing last year for them as they just spun their tires. And that was not an attempt at another F1 reference, but just came to mind. It just felt like, okay, finally someone is like, just they've awoken from a dream here and they're in the spot they should be. But God, what a frustrating year it feels like if you were a Street Profits fan.
So I definitely blame creative mainly for all of that, you know, but I also in a way feel like I'm a little disappointed that the Street Profits were able to take what little time they were able to receive and be able to show me something unique and different about their personalities. I think they had a whole year to like show me that they were capable of giving me like a fresh heelish type of like personality, and maybe there were attempts at it, but there were certainly no points where they felt like they were connecting at all, even as heels. So now we're just kind of back to them as like the types of baby faces that they were. And we maybe the year away from this incarnation of the Street Profits has been positive in that it's made this version of the team fresh again. Certainly Italy treated them like they were happy to see them, and the matches always, you know, do well. So I hope, though, that they're still able to maybe some fine evolution in their game in this particular run.
DIY met with Pretty Deadly in a stairwell. They propose a quid pro quo next week where we will guarantee you win the tag titles as long as you give us the first shot. And it's in Pretty Deadly's hometown of London next week. Pretty Deadly turned this down. Gargano also brought up the fact that I was heartbroken in my hometown. I don't want this to happen to you guys, because you know what's worse than losing in your hometown? It's then being immediately booked for a comedy show to have to go to after your big title loss in your hometown. And then we get more teams in the stairwell because the Machine Guns meet DIY, stating, you are in the back of the line and we want to beat you guys up. So we have multiple teams at the back of the line here with Los Garza and DIY, which by connection, Motor City Machine Guns would be at the back of the line too. So really, there's only the front runners and everyone else.
We need another Nick Aldis board, yeah, to explain exactly who is currently in the back of the line. Yeah. So I guess your suspicions of what, some multi-man match at WrestleMania?
I cannot fathom they are not doing a match with all five of these teams.
I guess I only question whether or not these teams even get a match on WrestleMania, because I could see them doing it on the SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Instead. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm going through like all the programs that they have introduced, like they are getting to the number that it's like. They're pretty high on pairings that we're looking at, and a lot of singles matches that are looking to come out of this. Like,
and this SmackDown tag division, I think overall they built something somewhat interesting, but it really does feel to me a big step below like the programs that actually matter.
Like remember, they have 3 hours at the T-Mobile Arena the night before WrestleMania, so it's like that's not just a throwaway SmackDown either for that whole weekend. You will need some stuff on there, and you're right, like that these guys could find their way there. So next week, two title matches, Street Profits against Pretty Deadly and LA Knight against Braun Strowman at the O2 Arena in London, where it's not going to be any buy one, get one free tickets, I can promise you that. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman are out first. We've got like 25 minutes to end this show. And man, they got this audience. It was like a cow and they just milked this thing. This crowd chanted OTC, no YTC chants.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to.
Is this the most blatant example of just, hey, here's a new piece of Reigns merchandise for you to buy?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So Reigns explains that I got screwed at the Rumble by CM Punk. So that's why I screwed him at the Garden last week. At the Rumble, Rollins tried to kill me, so I tried to kill Rollins last week. A lot of death going on in this road to WrestleMania.
Attempted death. Attempted murder, at least. Yeah.
Yes. Did Reigns really attempt to murder Seth Rollins last week in the cage?
Didn't he try to stomp him on the yes. steps?
Yeah, I guess the stomp is semi-deadly, I guess.
It could kill someone.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Sure. It's attempted murder. Reigns says, I came a long way for this, so I'm going to stay here for about 15 or 20 minutes. I'm going to get my month's appearance out of the way here. And if anyone wants to confront me, I'm here in the ring. So Seth comes out in his pajamas and Rollins warns him how dangerous CM Punk is. You should have let me finish him last week, but says it's always been about the two of us. We cannot coexist in the same place at the same time, even though they were defying this rule as we watch this live. But it's time to add another chapter to our story. And Seth started to take off his pajama top when CM Punk comes out and he's taped up his right hand. I thought he was going to dip it in glass like Tony Storm. I was looking for a champagne bottle. And he refers to Big Chief and Grimace. Neither of you have beaten me without the other one's help. And Roman, it was every man for himself at the Royal Rumble. And don't forget, I saved your family's ass at War Games and reminds Paul Heyman of the favor that he owed him. And then looks to Heyman and says, thanks for delivering Roman to me on a silver platter. And Roman gives this confused look to Heyman, like, was I set up? And as Reigns turns his back, Punk jumps him from behind. I thought that was like a really clever spot that they had. Like, they're planting this this doubt in Roman Reigns if Paul Heyman is loyal to him or is ultimately loyal to CM Punk. I will state this, like, Seth Rollins is obviously, like, he's a major star. I feel Punk and Reigns is just, I think I'd be so much more into this in just the two of them, because I think the first Punk Reigns match is a really big deal to be doing. And it's just the three-way fatigue that I think many people have, but it's kind of just, it's a numbers game and they want Seth in something very prominent, but it does kind of feel like, I think there's a lot of value in when Reigns and Rollins have their first singles match together. And we're kind of just shoehorning all of that into this match at Mania.
Yeah. I don't mind three ways, like, for any show except WrestleMania. Like, WrestleMania to me always feels like it should be the season finale where you get that one grudge settled. And by doing three ways, it's going to be somewhat like you're kind of watering down, you know, the intensity of every individual feud by, like, doing it all. Now, like, we haven't seen the full story, so, like, you know, one of the I think strengths of this regime creatively has been to juggle several balls in the air at once and somehow making everything feel complete and together by the time we get to it. So they could do a great job of it. I think they've done a good job of it so far, but could it have been better if it was a singles feud between any of these participants? We'll continue to ask that towards WrestleMania. But I really do like the Paul Heyman element of it. That, at least between Punk and Reigns.
I do think the booking of this will be very strong over the next month to get here. And yeah. I think there's a lot of interesting avenues of where you can go. I think there's a lot of value in whether these guys headline or not. The idea of, like, let's even say that this ends up headlining the show. And it ends where you think, like, okay, Punk's got this big main event, and this is the night that Rollins pins him. I think that's like a really, like, creative out that you have. There's a lot of directions you can go out of this. But just getting back to the segment, it was a huge brawl. Everyone got their moment of offense in where they would pause and point to the WrestleMania sign. God bless these three that had to pull this off, because this was like the most comical intervention.
It wasn't just a Vince thing, evidently. You know,
this is like a thing now. It went from like this like hilarious like joke to now it's like, no, this is like the thing you get to do WrestleMania season. It's a big honor to be able to do this. But I thought this looked so goofy that we had each person take their turn pointing to this sign. But yes, by the end of this, we have our three-way in place for WrestleMania. Look at this.
Ridiculous.
There you have it. Look at security. They're like, no, Roman, enough pointing. And that's how the show ended. So, I mean, the crowd, they went nuts for the big stars, and it was probably a smart idea to hold this off till the end, because there was nothing stronger on this show to end off than this.
Sure. I like the added element of just, you know, not knowing whether or not Heyman's loyalties lie with Punk and Reigns, or Reigns. Watch, he's going to be loyal to Seth Rollins coming out of there. All right. But the other thing is the favor. Punk teased discussing it here, I guess, what was just kind of interrupted and cut off and never got to it. But are we closer to having a reveal of what this is?
I think it's kind of going to be this like ambiguous thing that is hanging on top of this. And like, what is this favor? I think you should go into WrestleMania not knowing what this favor is, with that further tease of like Heyman. Like, is this favor going to be paid off at WrestleMania to Punk's benefit, or just something that you linger with?
Right. Okay.
So anyway, I thought in terms of like an excellent crowd, and you had several announcements regarding WrestleMania. We have the three-way in place. We have Orton and Owens. I cannot say the wrestling was all that strong on this show, but you had an audience that more than made up for it with a great soundtrack on this 3-hour CD.
Yeah, incredible crowd. I would suggest one of the best of the year, but that also means like every one of these crowds for this Europe show has been one of the best of the year. But these shows are very enjoyable to watch strictly for that reason mainly, but also for, I think this was above average in terms of star power. You know, you had Orton's, Jade, Punk, Rollins, Reigns have things to do on the show. The individual stories are moving along. Nothing really too unexpected from any of them this particular week. Just matches kind of being made official and stories being progressed. So worthwhile watch for the crowd. And just if you wanted to see confirmations of several plot points.
Yeah. So we have next week's shows are Glasgow on Monday. And then they do next week's SmackDown and the following week's Raw in London. There are two shows at the O2 Arena. And then they go back to the States for SmackDown in Chicago, which should probably be a red hot show. Yeah, as well. So yeah, we will get some very electric crowds in the lead up to WrestleMania, which is still a month away, dude. This feels like a long WrestleMania build up.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So a lot of TV still to go. We're going to say goodbye to our friends on the free feed, but hey, if you want the party to keep going, you can do so by signing up at postwrestlingcafe.com. Go XL for $6 a month, and you get the entire show live as soon as SmackDown ends, where we go through all of the news, and then we open up the calls, take your questions, and also want to alert people on the Post Wrestling Cafe that you already have early access to my interview with Evan Husney from Dark Side of the Ring. That is up, and coming up early Saturday morning, we will have the new Japan Cup final review with Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson. We will also have Collision Course coming away on Monday with Kate from Montreal and John Cena. So a lot of great stuff up on the Post Wrestling Cafe, from Beatles reviews to everything else under the sun.
Yeah, thank you everybody for your feedback to some of the shows that we released this week. Also, MCU Later, of course, coming back out here talking about Daredevil Season 4. Wanted to give a special thank you to intern Simon for manning the ship today and providing a lot of the graphics and everything. So thank you to him, and hope you guys join us in the Post Wrestling Cafe coming up right now.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.